Okay, so for those of you who just walked in, we're in the Harash at the bottom, and we are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, seven, the seventh line down, in the first column. Vayta Tshuva B'Zeh. Now, before we get this answer, Nefesh and Seichel here, the Rashba is going back to what we something we learned a few weeks ago, which is the two Leviathans, the male of Yasson and the female of Yasson, represent the mind, the Seichel, and the Nefesh, not the body, the soul which animates the body, but the more material side of the human being. So the question was, why can't they mate? Why did Hashem kill the female and castrate the male? Why couldn't they mate and have little Leviathan babies? So the answer, why was there a problem? So the answer he gives here is, Hatshuva Zeh, Kadesh Lo Yumach Rivim Etzolim. The answer which the Gemara gives is that then they would destroy the world. There'd be too many Leviathans, and it would destroy the world. But the way he explains it in the parable, with Solomon, I mean to say, Shivato Mina Mina Enoshi, it would nullify from the human species the power of procreation. Because this desire to procreate is not in, doesn't come from one's intelligence. Rather, it's the activity of the desire of the soul. So it's interesting. If the Leviathans were allowed to mate, then nothing would want to procreate. It's kind of like a paradox here, right? Their mating would lead to nobody else wanting to mate. Because we're saying the Leviathans represent here not big fish, but the mind, the intellect, and the soul. The part of the body which has its emotion, the part of the shama which has its body, which has emotions and desires and love. So how they connected together, then the intellect would have overwhelmed the emotion and nobody would procreate. Okay, well, as I said, the rabbis say, Shapiro's Moshe means that Moshe separated from his wife. Shanamat, as it says, that after the son was given, Hashem said to Moshe, Lech Emor Lohem, go say to them, to the other Jews, Shuvu Lachem Lalechem, go back to your tent. Vato, but you, Po Amori Madi, you stand with me here. His soul was not desiring outward, so to speak. His soul was desiring upward, to strive towards the connection to Hashem, which came through his intelligence. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu would not go out and procreate, because his mind was totally his soul was totally focused on its mating with his mind and being this entity which is completely connected to Hashem. So then he goes on and he says, the similar idea was Ben Azai. Gam Umbra Ben Azai. Ben Azai was one of the Tanoim who died young. And he said, Maaseh, what should I do? What he Shadavka Nachi Torah, I can't get married because my soul clings to Torah. The lady also is one of the other Amoraim, Shibita Merikocha Mitzaveh, Mitzadzeh, that he also lost the, I'm not sure, lady might be a typo here. Maybe it's supposed to be Bechuri, etc. But in any event, it means that Ben Azai should, or lady, if it's talking about both of them, they lost the power of desire. Now, in Chazal, this power of desire is called Yetzer Hara. Those of you who heard me before know that, I say his name every so often from time to time, that in Chazal, Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara don't necessarily mean good and evil, although that's one of the meanings. It can mean intellect and emotion. Why? Because even though your intellect is not necessarily good, usually, if you follow your intellect, you'll do the right thing. On the other hand, if you follow your emotion, it's not necessarily bad, but usually if you follow your emotion, then you end up doing the wrong thing. So therefore, one should try and follow the intellect over the emotion, which is a hard thing to do in our day and age, which is why Rabbi Sol Salanter said he had to invent Musar, or fortify the study of Musar. But in any event, for our purposes, the Yetzer Hara is that desire or that emotion which comes from the soul. And the Yetzer Tov is that intellect which comes from the mind. And he says here, the Ilaya Batel, if the Yetzer Hara would be nullified, Yibata Olam, the world would be nullified, Yecharema would be desolate. Rushan was down after Chazal said, Yetzer Tinok V'Isha, your Yetzer Hara, a child and a wife, small doicha v'imimikareta. You should push them away with your left hand and bring them close with your right hand. Meaning that these are entities which you don't want to give up on. You don't want to become a monk, right? You don't want to give up your emotions. You don't want to ignore your children, but there has to be a balance. So in proper quantities, these things are good things. So therefore he says that Hashem did not want the mind to totally overcome and overpower the emotion. And so Gemara in Yuma, it says about the member of the great assembly in early times of the second Beit HaMikdash, it says, Shabishu Rachamim, they asked for mercy, in other words, they davened. I was stuck with the Yetzer Hara, that the Yetzer Hara, the desire, should be taken away out of the world. And they couldn't find an egg. Because now when the power procreation is gone, hens don't lay eggs. There was no a fresh egg of that day. So if they realize that this aspect of the human condition, and for that matter the animal condition, is an essential component of creation, which they do not have or should not strive to nullify. They nullified two things. They nullified Avodah Zarah, and they nullified the Yetzer desire for Arayas, for forbidden relationships.
Was it family forbidden relationship?
That's what they left forbidden afterwards, incest. Even after they restored the Yetzer Hara, they left incest also.
Oh.
Okay? So in any event, they left incest, not also. They left the Yetzer, they didn't bring back the Yetzer Hara for incest. So in any event, the Yetzer of Avodah Zarah, they did away with that. That was okay. That was they lost. What did they lose as a result?
Prophecy,
right. So, but they did, that wasn't so terrible. But when they tried to eliminate the Yetzer of sexual desire, boy, that was the end. Would have been the end of the world. There wouldn't have been any more children.
What
so they would have to bring it back.
Why can't cannot implement any other mechanism to make sure? It's still gonna work.
But when God canceled the actually a better question, which is actually the answer to your question: why does God want man to have emotions?
How can you answer that question?
I answer his question with a question, isn't that fair?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask. When you say emotions, do you mean...
So you want you to have emotions. Emotions are the Yetzer Hara.
No!
Yeah!
No! Emotions could be the Yetzer Tov. I have emotions to...
But when Chazal used the term Yetzer Hara, they're very often referring to the emotions, even though the emotions are not necessarily evil. As I said before, named Rabbi Sol Salanter, they're not necessarily evil, but if you follow them exclusively, you're going to be an evil person. That's why it's called Yetzer Hara. But of course, if it says, if we say in the first pasuk of the second pasuk of Shema, that you serve Shem b'chol avavecha, right? B'chol avavecha. And that means within both your Yetzer Hara and your Yetzer Hara, five to the eighth has a positive purpose. Something's bothering you still?
No, well, you see, I don't understand why emotions are too much.
A what?
Well, see, I have emotion, I love God. It's very emotional.
That's good, because there are, of course, if you...
why mother or father or wife or kids?
There are good emotions.
Okay.
And you should ideally make your Yetzer Hara, meaning your emotions, all good.
Okay.
But the idea is, if you actually follow them exclusively, you'd be a bad person. Because, you know, what's the most strongest emotion? Me first. So that would lead you to all sorts of crimes and sins. Yeah.
I would just like to give an example. Let's say you have a person who decides that's it with Judaism, who takes off his yarmulke, takes off his tzitzit, you know, that's it. But then he feels a sense of, okay, I have to come back to Yiddishkeit. I went too far, right? So he's going to follow his blind emotions and just come, okay, that's it, I'm going towards the mayor.
Nobody does that. Nobody becomes fried. Somebody who was frum and then becomes fried does not become religious again because of emotions.
So why does he become religious?
Because it makes a cheshbon hanefesh. He starts thinking about life and its meaning.
That's the neshama, isn't that?
That's the seichel.
So that was one example.
So
there's no neshama.
There's no part of the neshama. But I'm saying that's the seichel part of the shaman, not the emotion part of the shaman.
Well, there was a person which was Talmid of some teacher, and teacher says that in the last parasha of the Torah there is all history, all future, and the guy cannot try out,
The Isser of eating pork can take effect on if one of them can't work. Either the Isser of eating pork can't take effect on the Isser of eating a Yom Kippur, or vice versa.
But you say it's
less
than
the
same as less.
You'll get courage for eating on Yom Kippur, but you'll be pushing on the pork. Pork you don't get killed for anyway. You get a left foot. No.
It's
Malchus.
It's for eating.
Kippur, yeah.
It's
called Kimmel Rabbin, no? That's not Kimmel Rabbin. Kimmel Rabbin is when you do something with your high meat and basis.
Oh.
So why
is
there less than a barrel on Yom Kippur?
Because A is the Chal Issa. One prohibition can't come on top of another prohibition. Since the meat is ready polluted because the Yom Kippur, it can't be polluted because of the pork.
So what can I
do? The car and smoke.
Not if you shouldn't forget.
I know
it's
in there. You're getting tired.
It still works. Sometimes it's freaking Yom Kippur. It works sometimes it's
pork. Of course.
It still works. Don't let it
happen. No, but the pork itself is not so. Anyway, now just forget it. Anyway, go on. Who is asking questions? No, that's a story for little kids.
That was the Ramban.
I wasn't the same with little kids.
The Ramban had a student named Avner. The student's name was Avner. Mm. And he came to his Rebbe and said, "You taught me, the reason why I became a sinner was because he taught that in Parsha Tazinu, everything is alluded to in entire world history.
It's a what?
Alluded to. So the question, and I don't believe I'm alluded to, right? I think it's ridiculous what you're saying. So the Ramban told him, this is where you're alluded to. The Sukkim would say, the four words would say, Amarti, I said, Afayim, I will destroy them. Ashbisa, I will remove me'enos from humanity, Zichrom, their commemoration. If you take the third letter of each word, you get Avner. And Avner was terribly, terribly frightened, and he sold all his property and sailed off away into the sunset and was never heard from again to fulfill the puzzle that I said, I will destroy you and your memory will be erased from humanity. Now, what was the question? What exactly did we
mean? He did tshuva, no?
I don't think he did tshuva in the story. Maybe he did. Who knows? Anyway, the bottom line is that this concept of becoming a Baal Tshuva out of emotion is a relatively recent concept. You don't become a Baal, and I guess there are people who get turned on by Karl Bach and things like that. But ultimately, they have to make a rational decision, right? It has to be something where the intellect kicks in. It can't just be emotion in and of itself.
I think the one guy who, I think of a person who seems to be all emotion. I don't have sat down with him to discuss father, but it just seems like if the person is religious because of the social aspect of it, it doesn't seem like an intellectual decision. Just from the surface.
What do you mean? He became frum because he wanted to date frum girls? What do you mean by social aspect of it?
Because he wanted to marry and it creates this whole social network.
Okay, but it's not internally frum. He's just doing it because it's convenient for him.
Right, but that would say he became
from
because of emotion.
He's not from!
Sure.
He's keeping
Shabbos and kosher.
But it's only because he wants to date
Jewish
from girl.
What's wrong with that? Do you want to consider that person from?
No.
Not at all?
No.
By the way, he's keeping
Smith.
Okay, so fine. So, I'm not going to judge him internally. I can't judge him internally.
Right. But something you were judging. Would you think it's better for
someone? You were judging.
Do you think it's better if someone is not keeping major misses, but keeping some misses? So he picks and chooses misses the other two. But the ones he chooses, he has great kavana in them and completely in them. Compared to somebody who is like this guy that I just gave an example of, where he does all the mitzvahs, but he just...
They're both just bad. Just bad and just good. That's Gemara. Gemara says that somebody who does an Avera Rishma, who does Averas for the sake of heaven, which is your first guy, and if somebody does Mitzvah Shalom Rishma, which is your second guy, they're equivalent.
Lolishma, Bolishma. I don't understand. Isn't it most of Lolishma, Bolishma?
There's no meaning to
true. But at that level. Averishma is a very holy thing.
What's the Averishma?
When you sin a sin for the sake of God.
What's an example of that?
That's not
Averish.
Esther
and Achashverosh. Oh, okay.
When she went willingly to Achashverosh.
When she went to the end.
But that's called Averus Lishma.
Would it
be
like
stealing
a korban?
What?
Stealing like a korban or?
Yeah, but that won't work. But that's a mitzvah above Avera. In other words, the Avera itself. So this is doing Avera in order to do Mitzvah, whereas Simon Avera itself, you do because of the sake of heaven.
No.
There are countless examples of that, guys. Let's say you decide you have to take a coffee break in the middle of Seder. Right?
It happens a lot. You never heard
what?
Of that?
What?
It happens a lot.
So that's an Avera
Lishma,
right?
You need the coffee.
It's fine. There's good reason for it. It's special Torah, but special Torah for a good reason, right?
Was you're comparing doing that like equivalent to like paying a little girl to do marriage or Shabbos? Why not? She's only doing this one for like money or for prize?
Yeah, what's the why?
No, just make him keep doing whatever, doing something.
It's a rough comparison. It's not a real comparison. Anybody's different. Who do you think is on a higher level? The guy that's saying the coffee break will run better, or a little girl who's getting paid to light shop is going to
work? The guy taking coffee break.
He's a holy coffee drinker.
If that guy seems like didn't need the coffee, he wouldn't have it, so... he's only doing it...
By the way, I just... Also, when you said about most people become religious about not because of emotion, because of thought, what you just said?
No. Not most people become religious. People who start out being religious become not irreligious and come back.
I spoke to I don't know a lot of converts, but I spoke to converts before. Everyone gives me the same story. And the story is, I just felt like being a Jew and I became a Jew.
What?
I'm telling you, every Jew, even the one who spoke...
They're pulling your leg.
I heard the convert who converted was a German... I don't know what he did.
He just woke up one day in the morning and decided,
you
don't want a banana. You know, let me eat the cheeseburgers. Let me eat pork. I just started becoming a Jew. By him.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, but that's
good. That's a personal thing.
In other words, you don't just come and wake up one morning and decide, right, you don't just come wake up one morning and decide, okay, you don't have to answer anything.
Are you still wearing the yarmulke?
Yeah. I can't even imagine in sports, a guy who's a Chicago Cubs fan, the next day wakes up and says, okay, today I'm a Yankees fan. You know, it doesn't happen that way.
Yeah,
I wasn't
supposed to be a personal thing.
I'm sorry.
We got Chazal and Omfar and Yetzer Hara. How is it possible that Chazal are able to know Omfar's feelings? Is that an aspect of free will?
They actually, Chazal were given powers to manipulate the conditions of creation. Heavy stuff, right?
Listen, he gives a kiss from the one, from the dead, born, life, dead.
What?
Certain, but he didn't give three keys simultaneously. He gives one, he withdraw it back, and then he gives another one, and then he gives third. I don't remember what was third. Was the Eliyahu HaNavi.
Who was it?
Three keys that never give.
Eliyahu HaNavi, yeah. Chias Amesim, rain.
Rain.
Chias Amesim, rain. And, children, right. Children, giving birth to children, right.
So how is it that they're able to change that aspect? I mean, men's free will, but they can change, like, the Roman's free will? Not a lot of people.
It can't interfere with any specific individual.
Let
me explain this a little bit more, which is from my perspective. Now, this is Beckhoffer's theory of history. This is not necessarily true only in terms of. It's not necessarily true or accurate, but I believe it to be true, and I believe it to be accurate. Which is that there are different eras in which God wants the world to run in different ways. And sometimes God changes the eras, and sometimes we change the eras. And there was an era, until the time of the Second Temple, when God wanted there to be a powerful trend towards Avodah Zarah. And then at the beginning of the Second Temple, either God decided, or it seems more, perhaps even more likely that the sages decided, okay, this epoch is there over. Let's start a new epoch. Now...
No, they were failing.
Sorry?
Excuse me, they were failing. That's why they decided, okay, we better not have...
Right, let's shift gears.
Gears
get shifted really quickly. I mean, you have trends in history that boom and then die in, like, years. I mean, the entire British Empire collapsed in, what, 10 years?
7 years.
And it took, what?
Soviet Union collapsed in about 100 years.
It just collapsed. I mean, over 100 years of that,
you mean
capturing countries just...
Well, there didn't happen to be a world war going on at the time, so it's not exactly out of the
war. No, those countries that gained independence gained it right after the war.
Yeah.
The British Army
What about Russian?
Yeah, that's the Soviet.
20 years.
The Soviet Union is actually a very good example. The 70 years of the Soviet Union are like an epic in history, which God wants there to be this tremendous battle with communism. Okay, now he moves on to the battle with Islam. Things change.
Democracy
right?
is falling. Democracy is right now falling.
Where's democracy falling?
I don't see democracy.
Where would you rather live, in Iraq or New York?
New York.
Which one is safer?
Iraq or New York?
Iraq or New York?
New York's safer.
Yeah, New York's safer.
Are flavors and colors supposed to incite our Yetzer Hara?
Of course.
Is this a loaded question?
I don't know.
What's
the point of giving us colors or flavor?
No, it was a weird question. You can't get anything but a weird answer. At one point, 7-Up made their bottles more green. They didn't change the formula. They just made the bottles, you know, the label, more green. And they got tremendous complaints from consumers. Why did you change my 7-Up?
It's built into the market.
Everything
is built. They deal with this 7-Up as opposed to this, that, and that thing.
I just read the newspaper. I just read, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, that if you just think Apple, I don't mean Apple
computer.
You mean Apple computer? You, for the next X amount of time, I don't know exactly how long, will be more creative and innovative. Because the word Apple, in and of itself, provokes thoughts of creative thoughts. Because that's the association. Now, if you're asking, what?
Apple computer.
Why
not Granny Smith apples? That's not going to get a change in your
creativity.
What? Because Apple has managed to position itself as the creative, innovative thing.
Why not PC?
So that's what your mind is social.
The PC guy have
no.
Hey,
I was saying
you see Geico. Yeah. Actually, Cody, I think that this is actually more expanding on your question, which is that God obviously wants human beings to be influenced not just by content and reality, but also by perception. Why should that be? Because a human being has to go through experience multiple moods and situations and achieve growth in all of them. Okay? Yeah.
I have a question based on...
You know, by the way, if you get a cup of colors, that's tea. But let's say, hypothetically, it was coffee, right? So if you get coffee in a cup like this, it will taste better to you than if you get coffee in a cup like that. Even though it's the exact same coffee.
Wait, that one will taste better?
Yeah, because you're trained to think that the coffee comes a cup like that, that it has to be fancy, it has a lid on top, you know.
You expect more.
Yes. That's how the marketers justify what they do.
Even though they just changed the packaging, it works.
You associate that with a more superior experience. You know, people think there's a book I'm listening to right now, a blink. So people, if you bought ice cream packaged in a cylinder, in a round container, people are willing to pay more than have a same ice cream packaged in a rectangular container.
Why?
Same ice cream.
Why?
Because the perception of people is that ice cream comes out of a cylinder tastes better than ice cream which comes out of a box.
But that's because it's historical.
Right.
Wait, this that means like association.
So
it's like I heard that Alka-Seltzer, they figure they can increase their sales during the commercials if they drop in 2 tablets instead of one.
Could be.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know it's.
Okay, but it works. Because that's where human mind works.
No,
you actually think.
I'm thinking about this.
You associate. You associate this with. You associate ice cream and cylinder with Häagen-Dazs, right? You associate ice cream in a box with ShopRite. Now that's the way you associate it. If ShopRite put their ice cream in a cylinder, you'd be willing to pay more for it.
So why does anyone sell ice cream in a box ever in the world?
You want it more?
No,
I
think it's super.
Because there is money to be made of selling cheaper and greater bulk.
You know,
why is it greater bulk if it's in a box?
No.
Why is it greater bulk if it's in a box?
No, because this person's perception. Some people buy that in a box because they figure they're getting a better deal.
Uh-huh.
It works both ways, right? But people buy generic soda.
What's lunatic is the whole thing. Square also much less space and round.
No, is much more efficient.
Red is more efficient for packaging, but it doesn't have...
That's much.
Transportation and everything else, square much more...
Square is more efficient, sure.
What's lunatic is that the pink psychologist a lot of money to make all these...
What do you mean? It works! It works!
Yeah, like the
chocolate
you know.
Drink.
But you know, that's Coca-Cola.
But
it's Coca-Cola at every single sports event. They have all their commercials revolve around something after a sports event.
You feel
drink
it.
Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola is caffeine's a diuretic. It's the worst thing you can have after running. And it makes you feel sick.
Oh, would you want to drink Coke after a run?
Yeah, you can't do that. It doesn't make any sense.
I want to give you one other commercial from the book, which is after margarine was invented in World War II.
What?
Margarine. After World War II, when rationing, when butter was available, nobody could sell margarine. Nobody would buy margarine. It looked like margarine was doomed. So this guy, of course a Jewish guy from the Midwest, Chesik, I forget his name, he actually, the genius of marketry, he figured out by testing. No.
Name?
Color. All margarine was white. Mm. If you change, and white is an unappealing color for food. All he did was have the company he was advising, change the color to yellow, which of course is by artificial coloring, package the margarine in foil, because foil always is considered to be a higher madrega, which comes in foil than in paper, right? That's the way, I don't know if it's true anymore, but that's the way it was back then. Uh-huh. Foil's more cautious. And called imperial margarine. And it took off.
So at the time, in Wisconsin, the yellow margarine was illegal.
Illegal.
It's hurting the dairy industry. Wisconsin has a huge, its main industry is dairy. So they used to smuggle yellow margarine across the border because it was illegal. Margarine smugglers in prison.
Margarine comes from oil, from vegetable oil.
That's margarine importers to Wisconsin in prison.
Smugglers.
What?
Wow.
So, the humans, it is incredible how fine, how much how many different stimuli impact upon a human being in subtle and of course not so subtle ways as well. But Hashem obviously wanted that to be the case in order that human beings should have a rich array of experiences and, you know, develop themselves across an entire array of experiences.
Yeah, so another question is, we're set up for 3 instances where you're supposed to not kill someone else to commit a September and Gavera. Those are adultery and what are the ones?
Adultery, idolatry, and murder.
Alright, so if the desire to stay alive and try to commit the Gavera rather than kill yourself, is that the gates or Hara acting on that? Or is that a different force?
Of course it is Torah. But it's not Ra in the sense that it's an evil desire. It's a desire, it's an emotion. You're supposed to try and conquer that.
physicality taking over than spirituality?
Isn't it obvious? I don't know. Well, that doesn't make sense. Anyway, let's go a little bit further. So the so they have to bring back the Yetzer Hara. Utsu Levakish Rami Malav, they have to dive in again. She asks, come back. She ain't kima gufos of the Bali Chaim agufonim. There is no sustaining of the body in physical creatures. Zulati mo, unless there is the Yetzer Hara. It's not, of course, it's not just for procreation. You know, human beings have to have a desire. Any animal has to have a desire to eat, right? Because otherwise, it's just going to die. Eating has to be involuntary. Hunger has to be involuntary. Did I tell you about dolphins?
No.
Dolphins are an amazing thing. They're amazing in many ways, but dolphins. They breathe. They only breathe voluntarily, not involuntarily. That means they have to think about. Yeah, they have to think about breathing. You breathe even if you don't think about it. That's called involuntary.
No, but they come out to breathe,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So they have to.
They're not gonna come out. They're gonna die, right?
Right. So the question is, how do dolphins sleep? When you sleep, you breathe involuntarily. How does a dolphin ever go to sleep? So the dolphin's brain is structured. Amazing. Ma'akodu ma'asel Hashem. Only half of its brain sleeps at any given time.
Wow.
What about yours? How does yours sleep?
So,
when?
So half.
How do you sleep?
So the that would be the case if you were not trained by Hashem to become hungry when you don't have enough food. So you might just forget to eat and die, like a dolphin who would fall completely asleep and die as a result, right? He wouldn't forget to breathe. So there's so many things which Hashem actually gave us all these desires and the human characteristics, because they are essential to sustain physical life. There's another example, which is kids who don't feel pain end up doing terrible things themselves. They blind themselves.
Don't they have like a worm inside the body?
What kids that don't feel
pain? Yeah, because the kids have genetic defects that they don't feel pain.
I thought it's a disease.
Maybe it's a disease. I thought it was genetic.
Yeah, it's an earthly.
So they cut themselves, they blind themselves, they do all sorts of terrible things themselves because they don't feel pain. And normally if you go like this on your eye, it hurts, you stop. But these kids, they keep doing it. So they blind themselves very quickly. So that is that. So all these things which Hashem created, he created in order to sustain material existence. If a person was completely intellectual, then he wouldn't be able to sustain himself physically.
You can ask why on anything with Hashem. But
why not? You can want
to speak of, because he would not be paying attention to these physical things.
Wait.
Can be rational and logical. It's important to be
what?
What do you need? If he was really rational, then he would have to figure out what he needs. You have to eat a certain amount.
No. I'll tell you why. Because a person, it's not rational. It's not rational. If a person who's really, I don't know if rational, I need a better word than that. A person who's truly intellectual, let's put it that way. A person who would be truly intellectual would look with disdain and disgust on the bodily functions, like the Rambam did. Right? So, therefore, he might decide, okay, I have to eat anyway, but he would put it off as much as possible and be embarrassed about it and eat as little as possible and so on and so forth.
Do the Gemara speak about sleep?
What?
Do the Gemara speak about sleep?
No, but Jews are not big on sleep.
You could ask why on anything, but why does it make the dolphin have to bring more sleep and not have to bring much?
I think it's Rennes Mutter, right?
No, but what would be the reason for sleep? I mean, why would Hashem, could we learn something from sleep? I mean, what is it about sleep? Like, why create a being to sleep? We can't really answer.
I think that's to avoid sensory overload. I think that's part of it. And sleep manipulation is an integral part of, you know, the human condition.
Is
you sleep too much, too little? What's fine, but because you suffer from insomnia,
if you didn't have to sleep, we never miss Krishna.
ever.
Yeah.
Or bring one Catholic, please.
Yeah. Yeah. Many people, when they come into diving boards, they're just like the dolphins. That's how they dive.
Doesn't give the Neshama time like Shil and Shammai and do all that?
Yeah, also, right. Dream work, all that kind of stuff which takes place.
But also, when the Yosemite, the Hanabin leave, it's much more easier to get whatever part of him to do. To do Chalon,
To do what?
To make Chalon from whatever part of Adam, of Adam.
To make Chalon. The first week.
So, Hashem could have made it. He wouldn't sleep.
Yeah, there's got
to
be some...
We have to change all words while human
sleep. Interesting point. Yes.
Hashem could have made a man who's very smart and...
No, but Hashem decided this is actually...
So he means the rules of nature.
This he decided was optimal, obviously.
Oh, you mean like a wall, you can't walk through a wall. Well, maybe you can't walk through a wall, so you could break nature.
Right, Hashem made nature because he thinks it's a good system. Okay. We think we're smarter than Hashem, and we would design a better system.
No.
But okay. We're not.
So how come the war people in history, I'm assuming that the second world, who were very smart, but yet they were in the bottom when it came to like women, and they were totally like expert and whatever.
Because they weren't intellectuals, they were just very smart.
So then what's intellectual and what's smart? Where do you draw
intellectual is person, a smart is a person who knows a lot and can think very clearly and is creative about it as well. A person who's intellectual is only interested in pursuing intellectual truth and he doesn't find pleasure in anything else.
Yeah, I think like the person I was thinking about is like Freud was a very smart person.
He was no intellectual.
Yeah.
Psychoanalysis is all about emotion. I mean, I guess he was intellectual about emotion, but you know, he believed human beings intrinsically are emotional animals. Really, that's what humanity is all about.
Kids are always emotional. The more childish they are, the more emotional.
Right.
Is that more emotional animals? You know.
Sexual emotional animals, quite to Freud. Yeah. Yeah.
Why did Hashem create the two reviles then? If he would have known in the future he would have been killing off the female, capturing the male.
That's what he's discussing. We haven't gotten to that yet. Okay. Let's go a few more lines. It says, because of this Yetzer, the world is not created desolate, L'shevet Yisorah. It was created to be civilized, to be populated. And there's a certain number of generations in front of Hashem. You can't chivak achmasa yizbar, because that's what Hashem's wisdom demanded. And says the first compare, let us be thankful to our forefathers. Shemohem lochotu, had they not sinned, lo banalalam, we would not have existed. What does it mean? Yeah, but he doesn't just mean Adam here. That's what the Pasuk Shana Gemara is. You're correct. But what he means here is sin, so to speak, have sexual desires. The Maitre, what he's saying is like this.
Sexual desire for a father,
for what?
Sexual desire of for a father, of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Jacob was a sin. Was a mitzvah.
I understand. He's just saying that it's a euphemism. We're talking today about Adam Arishon and the Dora Midbar, right? About the people who really committed sins. But the Rashba is using it also in a secondary way to say that the procreation is necessary in order to have a certain amount of generations. And that answers your question to a certain extent. In other words, eventually we can come around to the state where we've gone through all the necessary generations, all the history of this world. Things can be brought to the state where the Leviathans can both coexist or fully exist. But until that time, they have to be restrained in order to allow history to unfold as much as it's supposed to.
So where would this pure light thing come back into play then?
But it's never supposed to come back.
What do you mean it's never supposed to come back?
It's only one issue is supposed to be whatever, sex is whatever.
on the final, like...
Okay, but that's another metaphor. In other words, then you will partake of this Leviathan, of this great rebel, which doesn't exist in this world. They'll take the salted fish out for you, they'll roll it out, they'll have the geschmack of herring, right? Caviar, whatever you want, the whatever part you want to have of it.
Salted fish.
Yeah, salted fish. And that is the, and it's not a resurrection, but it's the bringing in of the aether of the Leviathan.
But the options that say it's real fish, right?
Yes.
I was concerned all the time that it was real fish, and you don't say somehow the two huge boosters or something that's so flattened and
so it's here about that
things coming out.
And we had it earlier.
Shohabot.
All these things can be real, says the Rashba, but they're not necessarily real, because there is another metaphorical level which to understand them. That's what the Rashba is saying. That, yeah, maybe they're real. We find they're amazing things in creation. We can find more and more amazing things which we never knew existed previously, and maybe they're alive and just waiting to be discovered. But maybe it's a muscle.
In your opinion,
in my opinion, it doesn't exist. I think it's a muscle.
Why does
it
bother you?
Oh, you don't have to accept my opinion.
I can't understand in this opinion. If I can take this opinion, I can't understand the whole thing which is written over there.
Why?
Where is this Jesus, where is this divide, where God gonna create them?
So we spoke about that too. It's so that the morons don't have access to deep knowledge, so they told stories. Right?
What does that have to do with selling a boat?
That's the first Mishnah. The first Mishnah in the Torah speaks about selling boats. And then the Gemara gets in, from selling boats, it gets into the boat itself. But the boat itself will take those fantastic journeys out to sea, which are the metaphors.
Oh, yeah.
But what the story is, the wave was like 3 sail or something, dramatic high, like 3 times.
That was the first account that we did, yeah.
What's it mean?
You have to get
this particular thing.
What?
The wave was so huge that it was like 3 times bigger than the world.
There was one particular great tragedy in human history which was worse than all other tragedies. It could have destroyed the world.
Mm-hmm. For example?
I understand the Second World War.
Could have destroyed the world? How?
What do you mean?
Not
the world in the sense of the physical world, unless the Jewish people.
The Gemara says, Gam Mishael.
What?
The Gemara in the Megillah says.
Yeah, but this is here it doesn't mention Edom. In this Gemara and Bava Atzer. It could be, it's connected, but it's not necessarily the same. Yes.
The Chazal say that once you reach a certain intellectual level, your emotions become pretty much almost gone.
Yes.
Pretty much what? Gone.
Like Mr. Spock.
But David HaMelech thought he had reached that level, and he said so to God, and God said, "Oh yeah, let's see how you do it. We're going to test you. Let's see how you do it."
But he also said that if he wouldn't fail, that this would be like shame on God or something.
Say okay Abram, okay for okay Yaakov, and okay Dovin, Shmonesrei. That's what he wanted, that's what Dovin wanted, he didn't get it. Because he failed, yeah.
Yeah, but it really wasn't Avera. For us, it wouldn't have been anything.
What do you mean it wouldn't have been anything? Of course.
Excuse me, he
what Chazal mean is he, on a technicality, it wasn't a Shadish.
Yeah.
But it was a bad thing.
He killed the son.
But I thought the Rambam said that we're not supposed to say that the big deacon like Adam Yitzchak and Yaakov did a very like us, like Shimon and Levi with the.
A lot of our friends say the Rambam doesn't say. A lot of our friends say the Rambam doesn't say that way. The Rambam says they were very holy. But if the pasuk, whatever the motivations were, the pasuk clearly indicates that he sinned, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So therefore, the pasuk wants you to think. You know, his sin is on a different level than our type of sin.
Right.
But still a sin. Okay, now, that's all I'm going to say, yes, but it wasn't with a married woman, because she had gotten, received a divorce, conditional divorce. But that doesn't justify King David.
One thing I want to say with Shimon and Levi, halachically, they did nothing wrong when they came into the city of Shechem to kill them.
That's what Ramban says. But Yaakov still said it then.
Because it called them in Sakhalis
Nefashim. But that's why.
Because they didn't consult him.
No, but why was not that wrong?
What?
Why?
It says because they allowed they allowed Shechem to torture Dina, so therefore they were all deserving of death.
He wasn't tortured.
It says.
And it was raping. Okay, but they wasn't involved in all this. They wasn't
shouted or whatever. It seems, according to the Ramban, the way the Ramban was to him, sure, is that they all knew it was taking place, but they didn't do anything about it. Okay, I guess we'll stop here for tonight. Friday night, anybody? Friday night?
I have a question about...
What?
Going to the Heights. My first trip to the Heights.
You going to watch the Heights?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it was fun.
You don't like it? I'm very excited. I've never been there before.
You don't like it there?
The Washington Heights?
Yeah.
You crazy.
Why?
It's full of yuckers.
What?